For those of you all who don't know me, my name is Sharif Shabazz. I am the program manager, and I own a few features in AX. I work on the client side of the platform team, Task Recorder, the AX Help System being one of them, as well as the extensible control platform we have in AX. And with me, I have Russell Goble. I think your mic's off right now. I'll introduce him. He's the director of industry solutions for IBIS. We've been working with, I think I've known him for about a year now. I think we've been working together, maybe a little more. And he's just one of the many consumers of Task Recorder. And after I give a presentation and a few demos, he's going to share some of his experience. And then if you guys have any questions, you know, we have the ability to be intimate and candid. We'll share our experiences, our plans, and everything else. So thanks for joining us, Russell. So I'll go ahead and get started. I don't want to take up too much of anyone's time. How do I start? All right, I'll just leave it alone. Let me go ahead and start off. So this is how we're going to go through the session. I'm going to touch on these four topics: basic usage of Task Recorder, advanced usage. I'll show you a demo of how task guides work, and I'll talk about the AX Help System. So for each of these, I'm going to give you a high-level overview. I'll do a live demo. I'll talk about how it works underneath. I happen to be a very technical program manager, and these are very technical tools in general, and I believe I'm communicating with what is generally a technical audience. So I want to explain how these systems work so that you have a better understanding of how to use them, and of course the FAQ session further on down there. So Task Recorder, can I get a show of hands? There's only three folks in the room, but how many of you all are familiar with Task Recorder? 1, 2, 3, excellent. How many are familiar with it in AX 2012? Everyone? And AX 7? Great. All right, so in AX 2012, I'll start with some background. Task Recorder was a tool that was essentially built to help document business processes in AX. That was the primary function. And it did that. It was built with some sort of hooks into the AX kernel, which pretty much fired events whenever you interacted with AX. The same thing carries forward into AX7, but we've built it from the ground up. We've, the old code is essentially, it's still in the ALT, but the old code has been replaced. We have an entirely new implementation that works better with the web and works better for a lot of the purposes we had it doing before. So it still captures data, still captures metadata, and you can still save your recordings to lifecycle services to document your business processes and a business process modeler. But we've added a couple of new features. Of course, there's generating the X++ code. Since, of course, we know the business process and documenting the business process is one half, you also need to, in addition to building and implementing those processes, test them. Task Recorder enables you to generate test code that covers the same process as you document. We have the task guides and AX Help System. The AX Help System uses a task guide, the task guide being an immersive, guided, step-by-step help article. You can sort of think of it that way. I'll show you a demo of what that is. And internally, and we don't really have, I think, a product scenario for this, but task recordings happen to be very useful for support. You know, when they need to provide repro steps, you ran into an issue, exactly what were you doing? Task guides can show you step by step how that issue occurred. So now let me go ahead and switch screens here and just give you a basic demo of Task Recorder. I know that everyone's seen this before, but did he say 5 and 6? Excellent. So right now I'm running from one of my demo machines. I think I'm working with an RTW build here, and I want to show you what it looks like in RTW, and I'll show you some features we've added in update 2 as well. So let me go ahead and start off. Task Recorder is open currently in this pane you see on the right-hand side of the window, and the existing web browser client still open on the left-hand side. And there's a reason we dock Task Recorder on the right. It's to allow you to interact with the usual forms and the business processes while you document them. This is something we didn't have in AX 2012. So for my demo scenarios, I usually go with create a new product as my demo scenario. And I'll touch on a few of the other options you see down here because it's a small audience and I always get these questions. What do those three options mean, those checkboxes? Well, the last checkbox is a checkbox you'll never see on your build. It's an internal build only. We use Task Recorder to do some fuzz testing of the controls that we ship in the web client. So that's what that's there for. The rollback changes to business data. This is an option that was essentially there early on when Task Recorder was first built in AX7. It was built as a testing tool. And then when we write our X++ test, essentially, after every test is run, we essentially have a rollback process where we clean up the tables, clean up the data, so that we have a clean state of the system for the next test. We tried to implement something like that for Task Recorder in the web browser so that you could play back a recording, and when you were done, play it back again. The feature works as intended, but there are some caveats there that were known internally through a lot of tribal knowledge and weren't so clear to our customers, which were, we only roll back create operations. We don't roll back update or delete operations. So it's not a flat-out rollback. It's not foolproof. And then the used advanced role selection is another feature that I think has actually been deprecated in a few, in recent updates. It was essentially there to allow you to have a more fine-grained way of telling Task Recorder which record in a row you want to, which record in a grid you want to select. All right, enough about that. Let me go ahead and start this recording. I'll run through this really quickly. Has everyone seen one of these before? So now Task Recorder has started. At the top of the screen, I see my recording toolbar. It lets me know I'm in recording mode, and I have the ability to stop at any point in time when I'm done adding all my steps, and I can essentially show and hide Task Recorder at any time in the process. I can click the hide button here. If you hover over that, that says hide. It disappears. I get my full screen real estate, but if I want to see what I'm recording or edit some of that information, I can always tap on the Task Recorder button to bring it back. So let me go ahead and just execute my business process here. I'm going to go into Product Information Management, All Products, and Product Masters. So as I execute this first step, Task Recorder notices that I've opened a form, and it notices that I've opened a form through a menu item. And then on the far right-hand side of the screen there, we see that one step has been recorded. Task Recorder is also very intelligent in the ability to sort of describe what that step means. And in this case, it's telling the saying that I navigated to, you know, some form inside of one of our menus. These labels come from within the AX system. They're coming from the existing AX label system. And each particular action you can take with the AX web client has a corresponding label that helps describe that action and they're parameterized. So they can insert things like the control name that you, or the control label you interacted with, as well as data that you entered into that control. So as we go through the rest of the demo, we're going to see that continue to happen. When I click on the new button, you see the click new appears over there because it understands the name of the control. So let me move forward with this. I usually use a Surface Pro as my fictional product. So let me go ahead and enter that product number and press tab. That step was recorded. And we see on the right-hand side, it says that in the product number field type of value, it's recognized that I've typed a value. And now I'm gonna show you what it's like to edit one of these steps. I'm gonna complete the business process, but I wanna show you what this edit icon does beside each one of these steps. It allows you to change some of the data that's being recorded for this step. So what we see at the very top is the ability to hide this step. What this option does is if you're creating a task recording for the sake of a help topic or a task guide, sometimes there are steps in there that a user doesn't really need to follow. You followed simply as a part of doing the business process in your particular scenario with your particular data. Maybe some trivial steps in there, maybe some steps in general you just don't want the users to have to see. So you can always hide that step from the task guide. The step instruction comes in three flavors. The first one is where it would indicate to the reader, who's ever consuming the task recording, whether it's a task guide, a help topic, or I think even in BPM now, it'll say, you know, type this value. This is the exact value I entered when I created this task recording. By default, we set it to what we call an example value, which is essentially an arbitrary value, because as you're going through most help topics, a user is using their own data. They have their own sales, or they have their own product that they're creating. And the very last one allows you to type in whatever you want for a part of the sentence. And this varies depending on the action that you completed. For an action where you enter data into a field, you'll get the prefix in the field name, and then you enter what you want. For something else, like selecting a row in the grid, you can replace the entire sentence with what you want. And in addition, the last two boxes, the title and the notes box, these allow you to enter additional content that's shown when a user is viewing this as a help topic or as a task guide. I'll go ahead and enter some text in there now to show you where that text will appear. And we'll see where this appears when I play this back in the help system. There we go. So I'm going to enter that. So I've made some changes here. I've only added the title and the notes. I'm going to leave this example value here and click OK. So those changes have been made, and this icon updates to let me know that I've made changes to what was auto-generated by Task Recorder. I'm going to complete the rest of the process now just by entering my values as appropriate. Let me go ahead and set a retail category. I usually don't do this in this part of the demo, but I'll do it anyway. I'll set the retail category. I'll click OK. So I've completed a very simple process in this case. I just created a product. I haven't released it. I haven't updated any details. I just gave it a name, number, and retail category. So at this point, I can consider myself done with my very simple business process. I can review the steps here to see if there's anything that I wanted to change or update. But I'm going to come back to this recording and enhance it a bit later on. So for right now, I'm just going to click stop and save it. So I'm going to save it to my PC. And I thought I'd turn that off. a pop-up blocker that always catches me. So let's try that one more time. All right, so now it's saved to my downloads folder, and I'm going to come back to that in a little while. All right, so back to the presentation. Let me explain or provide some details on what's going on under the hood throughout this process, this task recording process. That was very smooth, nice. So this is a very basic high-level diagram of exactly what's going on. So as the user interacts with the AX web browser is communicating each of those actions back to the forms that sit on the AOS. So nothing related to Task Recorder is happening in the context of the web browser. Task Recorder is a server-side, tool. So as a user clicks on a button, opens a form, taps data into a field, these events are communicated from the browser to the forms on the AOS through an endpoint that the forms expose to the web. The forms expose an endpoint for essentially all of the controls. Each control in the form has an endpoint and parameters you can pass to it. Now, as that data is received by that endpoint on the form, each of those controls and the forms, they have instrumentation in themselves. That instrumentation is what allows them to speak to Task Recorder and tell Task Recorder what's going on. This is opposed to what may be a common understanding of how Task Recorder works, where Task Recorder is sort of has an inherent knowledge of the system, is spying on the system, is automatically recording the system. In fact, it's the system that is logging events to Task Recorder, so it's quite the reverse. Even when Task Recorder is not running, the system is logging these events. It's just the Task Recorder isn't storing them in memory. They're essentially going into nowhere. So when you turn Task Recorder on, you're not seeing any performance impact or any performance hits like you might have seen in AX2012. And it's because, as I mentioned, these events are always being fired. It's just Task Recorder isn't listening to them. All right, so when those events get into the task recording system, Task Recorder has a very intelligent way of storing these events and sort of organizing them and understanding them. It knows that certain controls belong to certain forms, so we essentially have a tree structure in memory that Task Recorder is holding these forms and these controls in a nested tree structure. So in addition to the form names, these are the AOT names, the control names, we also know about the control properties that are being edited. You know, for something like an input field, we're editing the property value. We know about the menu item names, and we also know about the buttons and other things that are being clicked on. When you click on a button, it has a click command or a click, a click override, as you can see in X++, expanding, opening tab pages, things of that nature. And when that's all said and done, when you stop, we essentially serialize that recording file into something that cannot be shared. You can store it locally. You can upload it to LCS as part of your help system. We'll see later on. And you can also use it to generate your test code. And in this case, I'm going to use it to make further edits to the task recording. So before I do that, let me touch on a few questions we frequently get. Will Task Recorder work with my customized solution? Yes. If your customized solution uses, you know, out-of-box controls, out-of-box forms, or if you build your own forms or customize our existing forms and you use our existing controls, then yes. Task Recorder works, as I mentioned before, based off the instrumentation from the forms and the controls. If you add a new control, you'll have to add instrumentation to that control. And there's two very simple APIs to do this. We have those documented on our AX Help Wiki for our developer documentation. The second question we normally get is, are recordings upgradable? What is my maintenance story for these recordings? Well, now you have an understanding of how Task Recorder works. All Task Recorder is logging is the metadata related to your forms and your controls. So if the metadata doesn't change through upgrades, if your form names remain the same, your control names remain the same, Task Recorder, it really doesn't care. In fact, you can move the controls around on your form. As long as they're still in the form, and as long as the AOT names haven't changed, the Task Recordings will work through all those versions. So Task Recordings are forward compatible as long as your metadata doesn't change. What else do I have? Do I have to be an admin to use Task Recorder? In AX 2012, you did because of the way Task Recorder was implemented. It had some pretty low-level hooks. Today, you do not. But of course, using the menu item security, you can limit this if you want in your solution. Does Task Recorder allow someone to bypass security? Absolutely not. And that question really arises from what I'm going to show in the next demo, which is this, this mode where Task Recorder can essentially execute itself. These steps can be taken automatically. Even when those steps are taken automatically, those events are still being replayed in the context of the user, in the context of their security. Is there a performance overhead? No, I've mentioned that before. Does the data I enter into the database remain after I'm done? Yes, Task Recorder is doing the same thing you could do manually. It isn't injecting anything indirectly into the database. As I mentioned before, it doesn't wipe that data away. It doesn't roll back that data, as you may think. And does a recording contain sensitive information? This is very, very important to note. It can. We usually suggest creating these recordings on a test or demo, test or development environment with your demo data and only entering demo data. We don't suggest turning this on in a production environment, entering credit card numbers, social security numbers, and then making these your public health topics. So it depends on what data you enter into the system while Task Recorder is recording. It seems very straightforward, but it's always something to be aware of. And this is also important when you're sharing these task recordings with Microsoft, sometimes as a part of, you know, logging a bug for a help case. We usually ask, and in fact, I think on the feedback pane, we do have this, make sure your recordings do not contain sensitive information. All right, so let's move into the advanced usage scenario. And why do we call it the advanced usage scenario? It's because it can be kind of complex to understand how to use these tools. Task Recorder is doing something very special in here. It's playing back the actions automatically on the AX system, and it's going through those endpoints I mentioned before for the controls and for the forms. The second thing it's doing is, as it's automatically executing these actions, Task Recorder is also recording these actions again. So it's sort of like Task Recorder is using itself to create a new recording. That's essentially what's going on here. And while it's playing back, you have fine-grained control. You can have it play back, you know, steps 1 through 3 of 10, and then you can record some more steps here, a new 4, 5, and 6, and then play back the rest to get a larger recording. This is our initial editing scenario for our RTW build. You essentially play back part of the task recording, you add the steps you want, you play back the rest. At the end, you get a new, larger, or modified edited recording. And you can also skip some of these steps, you can delete some of these steps, and as I mentioned, when you're done, you have a recording that has the old steps that you played back as well as new steps. So now let me hop into a quick demo of how this can be done. So this is usually pretty fun to do because it looks really cool as it's happening. So let me go ahead and get back to my dashboard. And now I have Task Recorder open. Instead of creating a new recording, I'm going to use this mode that says update recording steps. And as you can see from the subtext, it says updating steps in a recording allows you to modify the sequence of steps. So let me go ahead and open up the recording I saved before from my PC. There we go. Let me click start. And now Task Recorder started again. Notice that, but things look a lot different here. You have far more controls on the screen. The very top right, let's start off with the playback controls. You have three options here. You can play the next step. We sort of have the arrow pointing to this guy to correlate the fact that this guy is the next step. Step number one is the next step. The second option is to play to a selected step. What that really means is you can select a step further down in the process, say step number 4, and say play steps 1 through 4 and then stop because I want to do something, I want to modify something, I want to add more steps, or maybe those are the only steps I want to keep. And the last one just says play all the steps. Keep going until you finish with executing all of the steps. And then further below there, we have some more options. Of course, there's the simple one, which is delete step. This simply removes the step from the recording, depending on when you delete it. If it's something you've already recorded and now you want to delete it, Task Recorder will mark it for deletion. And when you click stop, it'll essentially pull that step out of the serialized version. If you delete it before you execute it, before you play it back, then it'll just skip over that step in the playback process. Starting this concept of subtask, in-task, this is a way of essentially categorizing your steps into groups. It doesn't really affect the playback system or the task recorder's structure at all. It's really used for those help systems when you have really long business processes, and you want to break it down into a sequence that's easier for the user to understand as they move through those larger processes. And add developer placeholder is something that's used for our X++ testing scenario, which I won't be touching on in this demo. But essentially, it allows you to insert a placeholder where, when you generate the test, you can now write custom code at that step. So if I were to insert a placeholder at, let's say, step 4, I could write custom code that would be executed at step 4 when the test is being run. So let's go ahead and do this really cool thing now. I'm just going to say playback all steps. And we're going to see Task Recorder is going to go ahead and try to create this product automatically by executing these steps automatically. And ahead of time, I can go ahead and tell you that it's going to run into an issue here. Bam, there we go. So that's our issue. And this is actually, believe it or not, a part of the demo now. It didn't used to be a part of the demo. So we have a red X now on the very last step. Steps 1 through 5 and that lookup steps, those executed perfectly fine automatically. But why did Task Recorder, why was I unable to click the OK button? Clearly the OK button is disabled. And if you understand this part of the product, you understand that the message is saying the product number that Task Recorder tried to enter, it's already been created in the system. I just created it a few seconds ago in the original recording, and I haven't deleted it from the system. I didn't clean up my data. This is a very, very important scenario to understand because this happens all of the time when you're playing back these recordings automatically, when you have these data duplication validation requirements inside of AX. And you want to know about these up front so that you don't run into this issue when you're playing back the recording. But if you do run into the issue, it's very, very simple to work around using the RTW version of Task Recorder, and it's even easier in the Update 2 version of the Task Recorder. So let me show you how you would do this in the RTW build. So Task Recorder wasn't able to record the step of clicking OK. All your goal right now is just to get that click OK into the recording and then save the recording. So to do that, you would just need to click OK, but you know the form isn't letting you click OK until you enter a unique product number. So I would enter a unique product number. The OK button is enabled. I can click OK. So now my recording more or less looks the way I want, except for the fact that I have this this extra step in here where I've entered the product number again when it already pre-existed. But that's why we have this editing tool that allows you to delete that step. Very simple, very easy. So now Task Recorder essentially lets you know through the various UI and icons that these two steps, click OK and enter the product number again, will not be included in the recording when you click stop and download it. So the recording looks the way you expect. It has all of our original steps here. You can simply click stop, save that to the PC, and you know, keep moving on, edit it again, upload it to LCS, whatever you have there. So let me go ahead and see if I can move through this a bit quicker. Oops, don't want to move there yet. I have to hop back over to my slides, and we'll talk a bit about what's going on under the hood when you're using this playback mode. I did explain it at a high level, and here's another diagram that essentially shows you what's going on. You have the old recording. This is the recording that I had on my system, my downloads folder that I uploaded to the playback system. And now the playback system is sort of acting the way I did when I first created the recording. The playback system is executing these steps automatically through the AOS. And at any point in time, I can pause that playback system, and I can manually execute some steps through the browser, which eventually goes to the AOS. And once it hits Task Recorder's recording system, everything else is the same. There's really no difference between you doing a step and it automatically playing back a step. They go through the same security mechanism, same form logic as I mentioned before. You get a new recording when you're done, and you can go through the process as many times as you want. All right, so now before I hop over to my next slide, let me hop back into this demo and inject the enhancements we've made in Update 2 to show you how that playback system, you may not need to use it. We have a new tool that makes it much easier to edit your recordings. So I'm going to hop into this tab here, and something's a bit different about the Task Recorder menu. The third step now says Edit Recording, and the last one says Playback Recording. So the last one used to say Update Recording Steps. It used to be the way you would edit a recording. Now we're saying we have a more lightweight editing mode that doesn't require you to play back those recording steps. I can simply click Edit Recording here. I can open the recording from my PC. This is the one I created, the very first one I created. I don't believe that I downloaded the new one, so I didn't overwrite anything. There we go. So now we see we have a few editing options here. I think the size of my browser is throwing up the scroll bar, but I can change the recording name and description if I wanted. And I can also, essentially in this mode, what we're allowing you to do is rather than play back parts of the recording and then have to insert steps and play back the rest of the recording, we allow you to just insert the steps you want exactly where you want. So we essentially open up a small task recording session in the middle of the steps you already have here. And I'll show you exactly how that works. So let's say that inside of my scenario, I have entering the product number, I have entering the product name, I don't have entering the search name, but I want to add a step that informs the user they can enter a search name. So the way I would do that is first select the step above where I want to insert. I essentially want to insert steps after the step that's selected. So I select the product name field. The next thing I would do is click the insert step button. But this button will not enable for me until I'm in the right place in the AX product. We understand the form that these steps took place on, so we try to prevent you from essentially creating a broken recording in this case. So we say when you get back to that form, we recognize that's your form context, we'll let you add steps there. So in this case, I just want to go to our product information management, get to my new product form. And once I'm there, insert step is enabled. And in this case, I don't have to enter data into any of these fields. It doesn't matter that the product number is required. I don't have to click OK. I can simply click Insert Step. Task recording starts. I enter the search name. That step appears. I click Stop on Task Recorder. I've edited my task recording, just as simple as that. No data duplication issues, no playback issues. I did the minimal amount of work required to get that new step into my task recording. I can now click done on it, and I can use it for any of the other downstream processes, my test code, my help topics, my BPM, et cetera. So very simple, very cool feature we've added. This has tremendously helped our content publishing team. They have over 600 task guides they had ready at RTW, and you know, of course, trying to edit those can be very, very painful if you have to play them back all the time. You have to worry about your environment, your data, multiple people doing these things. So this really helped those guys out. Let me hop back into the presentation now and keep things moving. I answered this question, why did my recording stop? The playback system for Task Recorder, sometimes it'll pause automatically. And we saw that happen when I clicked the OK button. It knows when it tried to execute a step, or for example, it tried to open a form or click a button, and that event didn't make it back to the recording system. Essentially, what happened is the playback system said execute command, and the recording system didn't see the output of that command get logged again. So this means something's going on. We tried to do something, it wasn't recorded. Task Recorder pauses automatically when this happens. It can happen for any number of reasons. It can happen because the user who's playing back the recording doesn't have access to that menu item. Task Recorder can't override that. They don't have access to that that button. These things are limited by security. Or maybe the button was disabled, data duplication. Any of these issues could be a reason why the task recording system would pause automatically. That doesn't mean anything's broken. It just means you need to adjust the issue in the system, get the form into the correct state, or log in with the right user, and continue with the process. I blew through these already. Actually, I haven't touched on this one. If your metadata does change, if you get a new AX update and for some reason we've changed our form names, which is something we do very, very rarely, or if your control names have changed, then task recording will fail to find that form or fail to find the control because it's still looking for the old name. So these are some things to keep in mind. And like I said, you have a new editing system that makes it very easy to fix these things when they do crop up. So let's hop into the next part. What are these task guides? They are a guided training experience, and they are powered by the task recordings for your business processes. They're very cool. In that they're not simply, you know, a Word document or a static screen that a user reads and references back and forth as they execute the process in AX, reading the document they have to figure out what the next step is. So an immersive experience is powered by Task Recorder. Task Recorder essentially is able to detect when you execute an action, so we do the same thing for the task guide. We tell the user, or we, as a part of training, we inform the user this is how you start the process. And throughout that process, as the user executes the step, we recognize they've executed the step, and we automatically proceed them to the next step in the process. Very easy to do, very easy to follow along. Let's go ahead and run through a demo of one of those. Oops, it was six. All right, so let me go back to my my demo machine here. I'll return to the main menu for Task Recorder. And in this case, I'm going to choose a second option, Play Recording as Guide. This allows me to take a task recording that I've created myself and see what that help experience is going to be like before I actually publish it to my help library. So in this case, I'm going to play the recording that we previously, the same one we've been using the entire time, create a new product. I'm going to open that up. Say open it as a task guide. And this is essentially the first part of the help experience the user would see. They would see the name of the task guide, the name of the recording at the very top. If I had entered a description, that would appear under the section for description. And they see the list of steps that were recorded as a part of this process. So very, very easy to create this documentation. You see, I didn't have to type in any of the text that's here. Optionally, I did add some text for step number 3. If you can read that from back there, where I mentioned the product number must be unique. You can use the Surface Pro 4 as a product number if you want. So you have the ability to add additional help context when you want for the user, but a lot of this text can be generated automatically by the task recording system very intelligently. And now when a user says, this looks like the topic that's going to help me get my business process done, they can go ahead and start the task guide. And now we move into the task guide playback mode. So this isn't an automatic playback mode like you have for Task Recorder where it's executing the steps for you automatically. This is an interactive prompting sort of experience where we tell the user what to do, wait till they've done the correct step, and we tell them what the next step is. In this case, the first step is telling me to navigate to the All Products and Product Masters form. So as I execute that step, the AOS, the task recorder running on the server recognizes that step is executed. It says, okay, now prompt the user to move to the next step. And we have this very immersive UI. You see this, we don't really have a good name for it, but it's more like a flying black box. It moves around the UI, pointing at the UI elements the user should interact with as they complete the business process. So in this case, I just click on new, and I obey the instructions going forward, we can see here's where some of that custom text I entered is appearing, telling me about the unique name of the product. And if I click show more, I'll see the note I entered as well, which is informing me about a product number I can use. Let me go ahead and complete that step. And when I complete the step, Task Recorder recognizes that, takes me through the process, as I mentioned before, step by step. Very immersive, very, very useful for your help experiences. And I can go ahead and select a category here, click OK. And I finished my task guide. I've created my product in the AX system. If I want, I can go, now I can, like I said, I can publish this task guide to my help system. So this is a part of my task guide creation and testing process. I manually uploaded this task recording to see what the task guide experience would be like. Now we can move on to the AX help system. Let me step out of my demo environment and touch on the last few bits about the task guides. Okay, what's going on in the task guide system? I've explained this in words already, but we're sort of moving through this flow where we start at the top left, or rather at the top in the middle. The task guide is loaded, and it tells the user to take an action. If the user takes the action goes back to the form on the AOS. The form and the controls on the AOS tell Task Recorder the action was taken through the instrumentation. Task Recorder says, was this the correct action? Right? If they didn't open the right form, then we have some pretty cool UI in the client that say, yeah, this wasn't the right form. We're going to wait for you to get to the right place. Or if they enter data into the a control that wasn't being prompted, it's not an error. Task Recorder won't say, hey, that was wrong. Sometimes the user needs to vary a bit from the help topic as a part of their individual business processes. We'll simply wait till they take the correct action and then move them on to the next step in the process. So it's very intelligent in that way. And here's another thing you might run into. Sometimes the task guide can encounter an error. And I think it even says, it says something like, oops, you're on the wrong form, or oops, you need to close this form and move somewhere else. This is because Task Recorder and the task guide is very intelligent. We understand the state of the AX system. We know when the user's opened the right form. We know when they've opened the wrong form. Sometimes the user accidentally clicks the new button and opens a dialog on top of the form they should be on. The very instant they do that, the task guide will change its text, it'll change its presentation, it'll say, looks like you're in the wrong place, go ahead and close this dialog, we'll get you back on track. But it's also important to note that AX is a very complex product, lots of branching scenarios, so sometimes you want to build that thought into your task guides. You need to make sure when you're testing your task guide and playing it back, you're sort of going through it the same way a user you're training might, or a novice user with AX might. Sometimes they get off track and you want to have your task guide prepared to work for those scenarios. So using all the tools we have in the task guides, you can do that by changing the text, adding these custom steps, things of that nature. All right, let's move on to the AX help system. I think I'm still doing pretty okay on time. What is the AX help system? I'll go ahead and show you the demo in a few seconds. You open AX help by clicking the question mark. It's always available. And what we show are the task guides that are useful to the current page. And of course, because we have all this metadata in the task recordings and the task guides, we know exactly which forms they are useful for. So we're leveraging all of that intelligence right there. Users can search for other task guides if they want. Sometimes a task guide may not necessarily be relevant to the page they're on, but they want to get to that page and they're not sure how to get there. They can search for that task guide and it'll tell them how to get to that form. The AX help system, this is important to note, it uses LCS as the storage and indexing mechanism for all of the help topics. Your task guides are not stored in AX, they're stored in LCS so that you don't have this duplicate place where you have to put one for your business processes and another place for your help topics. We get some cool stuff from LCS, such as the ability to publish our help topics really easily to you, our consumers, as well as the ability to leverage your existing business processes documentation automatically if you want. But it's entirely configurable. LCS also gives us a searching experience, and I'll show you how that works in this demo. Before I hop into the demo, this is a question that may not be so important nowadays, now that we have the AX Help Wiki that explains all this, but there are some prerequisites to configuring the AX Help system. When you configure the AX Help system, you want to make sure that the machine is provisioned by LCS. Otherwise, the AX instance won't be able to authenticate with LCS to get access to that library. Another thing is that the logged in user must be in the organization that is associated with the AX product, the LCS project, excuse me. This requirement has actually changed recently in our update 2 build. Instead of doing user-based authentication, which means that a user who can open the BPM library has to configure AX help, we moved to a tenant-based authentication. Now, essentially any user who's in that tenant logged into AX instance can use that tenant authentication mechanism to get access to the corporate and global libraries the tenant has access to. So what are those steps? Let me go ahead and show you what those steps are. Very simple three-step process. Assuming you've already built up your, you have your LCS library, and you've created a few of these task recordings, and you've saved them to that library. What does it look like to get that guy set up? Well, you want to move to the system parameters form that's sitting in your menu under system administration, system parameters. We haven't moved that location. And when you're on that form, you go ahead and click on the help tab. And the very first thing you want to do, if this isn't pre-populated for you, is select the LCS, let me get this right, I think it's called a project, an LCS project that contains your library. And once you've selected that project, you then go ahead and check off on the libraries you want to include. And you see here we have a lot of the Microsoft published libraries checked off. So if you're having trouble finding this information, you can use this very simple correlation method. You can look at the ID for your project and the ID for your library. And if you're in the right place in LCS, you'll see the ID for your project in the URL as well as the ID for your library in the URL. So we can see this is our library, and it has over 3,000 business processes. And of those 3,000, if we count these number, this number is over here, these numbers mean that this business process has a BPM diagram attached to it, in which our case, because all of our BPM diagrams are powered by task recordings, means that we have over 200-300, maybe a few more task guides in this particular library. So that's what it's like to set up the AX Help system. How does the AX Help system look to a user when they consume it? It's very, very straightforward. If you click on the question mark button, the help system appears on the right-hand side, and the moment it first appears, it does that search to LCS. It sees if there are any help topics for the form you're on. Ironically, we don't have any help for how to set up our help system in AX, and that's kind of ironic because how would you get that help if you hadn't set it up? Let's go ahead and move back to the dashboard, though, and as I do that, we'll see dynamically the help system issues another query to LCS. As a user moves through the AX product, they can leave the help form open, and it'll dynamically pull up help topics that are related to that page. In this case, it seems we have a whole lot of help topics that touch on the dashboard, and that's because it's the main entry point for the product. But let's hop into a page I was using previously, like product information management, all products and product masters. It's issuing another query here to LCS, and now I'll get task recordings that are far more, relevant to the scenario I may be working on. And it seems in our particular help system, we don't have any for this page, which is pretty ironic. I thought we did. Let me go hop into all sales orders there. Maybe the library's changed since the last try at this. So we're issuing a help, essentially a search query to LCS based on the form name. And I can go ahead and show you what that looks like manually by going to form information. We see the form name here is sales table list page, and a few of the task recordings we find are related to sales order invoices. So if I hop into LCS, I could type in that exact same thing in here. If we read this subtext, it says, enter a keyword or AOT object name, you know, dollar, then the name of the form. And I think sales table list page is what I wanted to enter here. And we can see this is the same search system. So this is essentially what the AX Health system is doing automatically, except it's doing it, of course, through an endpoint, through a web endpoint. It's connecting to LCS, authenticating on behalf of the tenant, finding that project, that library, and then it's entering this search query. So you see it takes a few seconds here. I think this is running in prod, but we have a fairly large library here. This one's been already indexed, so we should see a list of results show up that match the list of results we see in AX. So the first one we found is create a event Kanban rule. And I did some operations research in college. I know what a Kanban process is. And it's going to be fairly far down on this list, but we would find that guy in there. Usually I expect one of the sales order ones to appear first. But there we go. We got our create sales orders, and et cetera, all down the list. So I'm showing you this experience because this is one of the ways, as you're setting up your help system, you can sort of make sure things are working the way you expect. If you feel like a help topic should be appearing on this page, but it's not appearing when you open up help, you can always log into LCS, enter that search query, enter that form name, and see, does the help topic show up there? If it doesn't, then one of two things could be the issue. One is that the task recording actually didn't touch that form. It didn't go through that form, as you may have expected. And what I mean by go through that form is you have to commit an action on that form. Opening the form and looking at it alone may not be enough. The second thing that could happen is you've recently saved this task recording to LCS. If it's recently been saved, then the LCS system may not have had time to index the task recording, especially if it's a new library. It may not have time to index it into their search system. Those things, the time it takes to do that could vary from a few minutes to a few hours, depending on the load on the LCS system, as we've seen historically. But very useful information to have nonetheless. So from any of these task recordings that's in the help system, the end user experience would be to find the one that seems to be relevant to what they want based on the title. Go ahead and click it to open it up. There we go. As we're loading that task guide, we're reaching out to LCS with that task guide ID, and we're essentially downloading that same task recording file. Now we're displaying it to the user. And as you can see, there's far, far more content and a real task guide used for the AX Help system. This one has about 39 steps, and they've all been annotated with a lot of context to make it as useful as possible. I mean, then starting this is the same as before. You click Start Task Guide from anywhere. It'll tell you where to go for the first form, and you can follow through the rest of the process. All right, so heading back to the presentation, we're about to wrap up here. I'll go through a quick Q&A on setting up the AX Help. I've configured everything. My tasks aren't showing up. Just talked about that process. You can use the search bar. It may also be that your AX Help system is still being indexed. For more resources on Task Recorder, we have several topics on the AX Help Wiki. You can usually just search for Task Recorder, Task Guide, or AX Help, and these topics and a few more will appear. We suggest looking into those if you're in this process of getting started with Task Recorder, Task Guides, and our AX Help system. So I'll take this opportunity to give the floor to Russell. As I mentioned before, he is one of our customers who's worked with Task Recorder. They've used it for a few interesting purposes, and he'll share his experiences.
Yeah, thank you, Sharif. So we are, I'm from IBIS. Our ISV solution is advanced supply chain software. It's very much focused on distribution supply chain customers in the industry. What the Task Guide has allowed us to do as both an ISV that is, you know, selling in customers and implementing, but also from a product development perspective, it's allowed us to really build out a suite of task guides that prove out our solution. But on top of that, when we build our own library, our own business process library that we tailor towards the industry that we, you know, we're going after. So it has a mixture of standard AX processes as well as our enhancements to Dynamics AX, and the task recorder just picks that right up, as Sharif said. And then when we build out that library, we can prove out to our end customers, this is what we're going to implement. This is the business process library that we think fits you as a distributor, and we know distribution, and this helps us prove it out. And then we can go in there and show them the individual functions that we've always had. The idea, of course, behind the business process library, as well as, you know, how it interacts with lifecycle services, is allow us as an app source solution to actually go in there and implement a templated solution to our end customers. The customers that we can say, you know, this helps us streamline and your implementation process, and here's why. Because we already know the business processes, we got the system already pre-configured for it, and now we just need to go out and prove out these things. And if there's gaps, you use those. But those task guides really allow us to do that. And we're full consumers of the task guide solution. We use it to build out not only our business process libraries, we use it for training materials, we use it to build out labs. We started to dabble a little bit in the automated testing, but really we are using it for everything. And then also in our sales cycles as well. Like I said, it also helps us prove out that industry expertise, but also when we show that to an IT group, or we show that to, you know, the key influencers of making a decision. When they see how we can first of all easily train the user with that playback, and then we also say, you know what, and this is anything you do with the system will help you grow with this, and all you can do is re-record this, you can do those edit steps as Sharif said, then you can actually start building on your own custom task guide library that will be fully available to the help system. It'll help you not only, you know, train your new users or train users on the new system that they're adopting, but as you onboard new users, you know, going forward over the life cycle of your system, then they'll just have it go right in, and it'll actually help them train, and it'll actually should streamline that ramp up for any new employee. So really, the value of the task guides and the new task recorder, and I've been in AX for 11 years. I actually remember when it came in AX4 and thought it was really cool. But I mean, what we have in AX7 is just absolutely it's a day and night exercise in what we used to have. And it really helps us not only just from a documentation perspective, it helps us in that full application lifecycle management story that Microsoft and tells with lifecycle services. It's just a tool that is fundamentally important to yourself as an ISV, to yourself as an implementer, and yourself, most importantly, as a customer.
Thank you. We appreciate it, Russell. Yeah. All right, so that's all we have for you all today. We have a few minutes here, and I'm sure I'll be here for more than just the 4 minutes and 15 seconds we have left. We want to answer your questions, get to know you a bit, so please feel free to not to use the microphones. There's too few people here. Just come up to the stage, and we'll answer what we can. Thank you.